Call all hands. Beat to quarters. Run out the guns. Stand by the starboard battery.
One broadside into it, if you please, Captain Bush.
Pointers on target. Linstocks ready.
Aye, aye, sir. Ready.
Fire!
Michael Redgrave as C.S. Forrester's Indomitable Man of the Sea, Horatio Hornblower.
Seafaring career, but as I look back now, I can remember none graver than that which faced me as I prepared to sail in my frigate in search of the Natividad. I had captured her before in harbor, by night and by surprise. Now, I must meet her on the open sea, where her enormous superiority in firing force must give her the advantage. Well, that was bad enough. But now I had the additional responsibility of a high-born and influential passenger, Lady Barbara Wellesley. When I returned to the ship after calling on the Viceroy at Panama, I summoned Bush, my first lieutenant, to my cabin. Mr. Bush, where's Lady Barbara?
She's on the quarter deck, sir. I had the carpenter knock up her hammock chair for her. Huh? I had a bit of awning rigged so as to give her some shade.
Mr. Bush, the Lydia is a frigate about to go into action, not an Indiaman with nothing to do but pamper passengers.
No, sir.
If Lady Wellesley takes advantage of her position and forces me to carry her to England, I cannot refuse. But this is no reason why my ship should be turned into a boudoir.
No, sir.
Confound you, Bush. Can't you say anything but no, sir?
Yes, sir. Forgive me, sir, but it would have been highly dangerous for a lay ship to stay ashore with yellow fever spreading as it is.
So she seeks safety by coming aboard a ship which is about to fight an enemy twice its size. Now, harkee, Mr. Bush, no good will come of this. If we win the battle, we shall be censured for exposing her ladyship to danger. If we lose it,
I cannot imagine you losing any battle, sir. Not if it was the whole Spanish fleet instead of just one ship.
Yes, well, I want your opinion, Mr. Bush, good or otherwise. I will ask for it. How am I going to pace my quarter deck with a woman sitting there? The thing I've just thought is my shower bath under the pump on deck. Look, have a screen rigged. See that the crew are warned about dress, too. In this heat, most of them work half naked.
Aye, aye, sir.
She was still on the quarter deck when I went to attend to the business of getting the ship underway. It was infuriating. With many factors at once. The drag of the cable on the bows, the pressure of the wind on the driver and topsail, the set of the tide, the increasing sternway, the amount of cable still to run out. When I sail forward, I must do so dead in line with the anchor, with no slack in the cable, or we might well bring the masts and rigging about our ears.
Hard to starboard!
Starboard again, sir!
Smartly with the braces now. Now she's checked, Mr. Bush. She's moving forward. Mr. Bush, now, hands aloft, set every sail that'll draw.
All hands aloft!
quickly. Take in the cable.
She's making, sir. She's making.
Yes, but we mustn't sail up to our anchor with too much speed on her. When I give the order, Mr. Bush, we shall see how well you've drilled your crew. Those sails must come off her like lightning, or we're not to be taken aback.
They will, sir. I swear by the crew.
Stand by.
Now, take her off, sir. Courses, tosses, and gallows for your life. Hard aboard. Hard aboard.
Captain there. Cable in. Quicker. Quicker.
Round, round, brassy. Fly, fly, yes, the big, big fly.
The moment had come. With sail off, the Lydia was drifting up to her anchor. Now was the moment when either she would raise it or the maneuver would end in disaster. Every man aboard, save for the wildly rushing capstan hands, held his breath.
Anchors free, sir!
Set all sail, Mr. Bush.
Aye, aye, sir. By heaven, sir. You've shown those Spaniards the finest bit of seamanship they'll ever see in their lives.
Kindly attend to your duties, Mr. Bush.
Aye, aye, sir.
Standing out of the gulf, close hauled, that I was free to communicate to Lady Barbara the news I had heard from the Viceroy. In any case, good manners necessitated that I should address her. I couldn't ignore her presence, however much I might resent it. She sat in her hammock chair by the taffrail, a servant Hebe, the negress, at her feet. She was in animated conversation with Gerard, the officer of the watch, and I noted with amusement that Gerard broke off the conversation and moved away as I approached. Acknowledged my bow with a smile.
Oh, it's heavenly to be at sea again, Captain. And may I congratulate you on your amazing seamanship in raising your anchor. Also, you've given me no opportunity to tell you how grateful I am to you for taking me away from Panama. I was treated well enough, but, well, I was in charge of Her Excellency. An admirable woman, but oh, so dull. In Spanish America, women are treated like Mohammedans. And Spanish American food, oh.
On the latter point, I agree heartily, Your Ladyship.
Well, will you not sit down, Captain?
Sit down on my own quarterdeck? Thank you, Your Ladyship, but I've never done such a thing in my life. If you'll forgive me, I prefer to stand. I came to give you good news. Your brother, Sir Arthur, has won a great victory over the French in Portugal.
A great victory? Oh, that is very good news. I've always been proud of Arthur, and this makes me prouder still.
Well, I am happy to be the first to congratulate his sister.
Oh, Captain, just look at that setting sun. One almost expects to hear a hiss as it sinks into the sea.
Yes, I endeavor never to miss the sunset in these waters, Your Ladyship. It's a daily miracle.
Ah, beautiful. Exquisite.
I hope Your Ladyship was well provided for during my absence ashore. If there's anything further that lies within my power...
Well, there's just one thing, Captain, that I should like to ask as a favor.
What is that?
That is that you do not call me Your Ladyship. Call me Lady Barbara, if you will.
Certainly, Lady Barbara.
And if Lady Barbara doesn't come easily to you and you wish to attract my attention, you can always say... Oh, Captain, I'm so sorry. Please accept my apologies. I realize now that to mock you was quite unforgivable.
There's nothing to forgive, ma'am. And now, if you will forgive me in your turn, I must attend to my duties.
One moment, please. Captain... I know that you've much on your mind. I know that before you sail for home, you must fight the Natividad. Will you tell me, what are your prospects in that battle?
Well, the Natividad, ma'am, is a two-decker with 50 guns against my 36. She is commanded by Vice Admiral de Crespo, a ruthless and bloodthirsty man who will never surrender. Whatever his faults, he's no coward. But against his force, I have perhaps a little experience. Capable and loyal officers and a very well-trained crew.
And they're English. That counts for much. You may be frank with me, Captain. What will happen if we should lose?
If I or my crew are taken alive, we shall be hanged or tortured. El Supremo will show no mercy to us for having turned against him. And you... it shall be my last care to see that you do not fall into the hands of de Crespo alive.
Thank you, Captain. That you're not to worry about me, nor to allow my presence to influence you. Should it come to the worst, I too am English, and a Wellesley. I know how to dive.
It's your health, ma'am, about which I'm anxious.
If salt water was harmful, sailors would die young.
Well, this really...
Get up! Sail ho!
Sail?
Right ahead! Looks like the nativity deck, sir!
How is she headed?
On the starboard deck, sir! Same as us! She is the nativity deck, sir! I can see the catamaran topsail!
Report any activity!
Aye, aye, sir! She's seen us, sir. She's wearing out on port deck, heading up the windward of us, sir.
Oh, is she? Unusual for a Spanish ship to face a Viking challenge. Of course, she's not a Spanish ship now. She shan't get the weather gauge of me, whatever happens.
And the voices, sir. You are all. Keep her as near the wind as you lie.
Mr. Bush, beat the quarters, if you please, and clear for action. Maid with you and stay in the cockpit until the action is over. No, no, not the cockpit. We'll leave that for the wounded. Go to the cable chair.
Captain!
I have no time to discuss the matter, ma'am. Mr. Clay, conduct her ladyship to the cable chair. See if she is safe before you leave her. Those are my orders, Mr. Clay. Mr. Bush's incessant drilling of the crew showed its value now. Every man knew his job and did it swiftly and well. The decks were soused with water and strewn with sand. The bulkheads were knocked away. The fire parties took their places at the pumps. The boys ran with cartridges for the guns. And down below, the acting surgeon was dragging the midshipmen's chests together in the cockpit to make an operating table.
The more this sea gets up, the better, sir. The Ginnicad won't be able to open their lower gun port.
No. Uh-huh. I'll probably have two reefs taken in those topsails.
Aye, aye, sir. Top of the roof! Two reefs in the topsail!
Excuse me, sir. With all this spray breaking aboard, do you think we can rely on the flint triggers for the guns? Or shall we have the slow matches lit in the tubs?
Yeah, better light the matches in case. Wheel hands! Steal a small blaster!
Look here! Both ships are approaching each other at an angle. Steer so that when we meet, our ship has the wind of the other. Do you understand?
Aye, aye, sir!
Look, sir, there's a puff of smoke. She's open fire.
Man's a fool to waste powder and shot at such range. Never forget, Mr. Bush, a first broadside discharge in close quarters with guns carefully loaded by crews with time to think is worth 10 under any other circumstances.
Yes, sir. We'd be passing mighty close, sir, if we both stay on this course. In fact, we'll meet bow to bow. No telling who'll have the weather gauge. That was closer. Here comes another.
Got us two men down at number four gun, sir.
Christmas! We're going to shave it close.
Stand by, Mr. Raymer. The fire as your guns bear. Wheel the earth. Put your helm a weather.
Over the
head, sir. Now, hold her as she comes on. Fire!
Nervousness and fear of some fatal error was gone. I stared across the tossing sea at the Natividad. I could see De Crespo up on the poop. The fellow actually had the insolence to wave airily at me. We had had the advantage from our maneuver, two broadsides into it at close range, with only one shot in reply. Now, we had to pay for it. I saw the rudder of our opponent kick over, and the next moment the two-decker had swung round and was hurtling down upon us.
Pop your luck! Take your aim!
Now, steady, lads. We shall have a broadside from her, too.
Fire!
apparently unable to trust his crew to fire independently, was working them to the word of command. He was doing it well, too. At intervals, as the sea permitted, her lower deck ports were opening like clockwork, and her big 24-pounders were vomiting flame and smoke.
What work is
that? Yes, Mr. Bush, have the dead carried away from the guns. The crews cannot work properly. The men had better lie on the deck and drag them. It's death to stand in that iron hail. And, Mr. Bush, I feel the Natividad superior force is too great for us to continue this close work. We shall have to use cunning if we're to survive.
It's a pity, sir, but I'm afraid you're right.
Cancel the braces. Now, Mr. Bush, back the main topsail a trifle to take way off us.
And let the Natividad get ahead.
Aye, aye, sir.
Now, tack ship and run across her stern. A broadside, Mr. Gerard.
Aye, aye, sir.
Now attack again. Front tail braces, sir. Back across her stern. Your guns, Mr. Raynor.
Glorious. Damn my heart. Glorious. Two broadsides into a stern. She's too big and clumsy to deck them out like us, sir.
Yes, save your satisfaction for the end. She's coming back at us.
Oh, she is, sir. And her lower gun ports are open as well this time. Going to take some real punishment now. There's De Crispo, drilling like a knife. I hope he was killed, sir, in our broadsides. Here she comes. Oh, what we about to receive.
Very well, Captain. But your coat is torn, sir. You are bloody. Can I help you at all?
Yes, ma'am. You can help me and all of us by going back to the cable here.
I offer my humble apologies, Captain.
One more question. Mr. Bush, you will no doubt appreciate the situation.
Yes, sir.
We must rig a jury mast and get back into battle as soon as possible. And impress on the men, Mr. Bush, that their lives and liberty depend upon speed. The first ship ready for action is going to win this battle.
Hornblower, starring Michael Redgrave, is based on the novels by C.S. Forrester. Music composed and conducted by Sidney Torch. Produced by Harry Allen Towers.